to remind you that over these last few weeks since the beginning of the year, we have been alternating our Sundays between teaching on one of our values and then hearing stories or testimony of how some of us have been trying to live out those particular values in our everyday lives and in church life, etc. And last week I did some teaching on seeking with passion, one of our values, and talked a bit about how that might work out for us in practical terms. But this week I want to welcome Hannah Corrigan, who many of you will know, I'm sure, just to come and share a bit about how she's been living out seeking with passion in her life. So, welcome, Hannah. Are you on? Hannah, you are our licensed and trained children's worker.
Yes.
You have been church warden.
Yep.
You lead worship.
Yep.
You now head up our prayer and worship committee.
Correct.
You've been very active in the church.
Yeah, I'm not one for sitting still for very long.
And I've been, you know, you're not new to the Christian life.
No.
Became Christian in mid-teens.
Yes.
Although grew up Christian family.
Yeah. Went to church since I was like a week old with my family, so I've been at church my entire life.
Yeah. So, not new to Christianity.
No, not.
And, as I say, trained as a children's worker. But about a year, maybe 2 years ago, I think it was 2017, around the time that you were thinking about having your youngest Albert dedicated, you approached me to talk to me about that, which you'd had Darcy dedicated before in an Anglican church?
Yeah.
Here, great. So you approached me, but you didn't ask me whether or not I would dedicate Albert. You asked me to talk to you about baptism.
Yes.
Why did you ask that question?
So we were in a situation where when we had Darcy dedicated here, we had just said to Harry, can you do this? And he went, yeah, okay. So it happened and it was brilliant and it was, you know, lovely. And when it came to the time for us to do that for Albert, you know, there were other people who we knew who were having their children baptized. And it was the sort of thing where we went, this is a good time to just step back, not just do it, and say, let's just process why this is what we want. And you very helpfully came over and had a chat to us about it all. And it was really helpful to sort of drill down into why we had the opinions that we had on baptisms and thanksgivings, dedications, all that sort of stuff. Excuse me. Which I guess came from a much more personal place, which I don't think we had necessarily thought about in great detail. It's just one of those things that this is just what we think, this is what we believe, so that's what we did, rather than stepping back and exploring that at all.
So that was sparked and inspired by seeing other friends choosing baptism instead of a Thanksgiving dedication.
Yeah. And it was just us wanting to go, well, we want to make the right decision for us and our children and for their faith, but still have that sort of all reconciled together, so that, you know, we'd not done one thing for Darcy, a different thing for Albert, and we weren't still quite sure where our beliefs fitted into that.
Because Joe, again, trained youth worker, studied theology at college, and took a particular interest. Am I right in thinking he wrote his dissertation on it, or he wrote some essay on
it? Yeah, one of his essays was about baptism and sort of infant baptism and all that sort of thing.
So he'd sort of done some thinking about it.
Yeah, he'd done much more than me, because I'm not like a education sort of person.
Yes, yeah. And I mean, that's an interesting phrase, really, because what struck me about you early on was the amount of times you told me, and I don't know if it's just because I'm clearly academic and quite like that, but the amount of times you said to me, oh, I'm not very theological. I'm not a great thinker.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's quite a scary word. Like, theology is quite a it just seems very proper. And for someone like me, like, I didn't go to university. I kind of left school with just 3 A-levels, just about got them, because I just wasn't very good at school. Mm. I didn't really enjoy it. I've never really been one for going, oh, the love of learning in that sort of way, like book learning, has never been really my thing. So as soon as someone says, sort of talking about theological things, you go, I'm not really qualified. I've not got a degree. I've not, you know, studied this. I'm not qualified to do it. And like I was saying to you the other day, because I've always done children's work, I feel like that's kind of been the level of my theology. Is it the level of a child? Because that's what I've taught. Mm. And that's kind of as deep as I've had to go.
Yeah.
So that's sort of where it stayed, which then makes me feel like often making those bigger decisions, like about baptism or dedication for Albert, was like, well, I'm not really very qualified. I don't really know. So let me just ask clever people and see what they think.
Yeah. But with baptism, particularly because it's something you care deeply about because it's your child, there's sort of no escape, is there, really,
no.
from going, oh, I can't get someone else to make this decision. I have to make this decision.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, really helpfully, when you came and had a chat to Joe and I about it, it was one of those things, rather than me just, you know, dropping an email going, can we do this? This is what we've decided. You made us think more deeply about why. And so we had to think about it and we had to make that decision sort of based on, you know, reading up on things and praying about it and kind of not being quite so passive as I normally would have been.
Yeah.
I would normally be a sort of person, if I'm not really sure, I'll listen to a clever person talk about it and go, yeah, that sounds kind of, that sounds good.
Yes. And we ended up having him, having a Thanksgiving for him. And, you know, that conversation was a real turning point, because I'd had a series of conversations with other people about the same subject, and it had become quite antagonistic and combative, but it wasn't that with us. It was a genuine sense of, this is my view, and you then expressed yours, and I totally understood why you felt it, because you'd had a significant moment at your baptism as a teenager, which had a big impact on you. And I was like, well, of course that's going to be something you desire for your children. All of that was fine. And actually that process was quite a healthy process in terms of you and I and Joe kind of getting to know one another, trusting one another, and being able to come to a common mind, even if, you know, there was differences of opinion still hanging in the air, we still managed to work it out. Then came Feast, which started in September. For those of you who don't know, Feast is based on that reading that Becky read to us from Acts of the Apostles. It's a space, if we use a crude analogy of the church as a shop, there are some shop front activities, which are all the sort of outreach, mission, presentation, those sorts of activities. But there needs to also be, in all good shops, a kind of staff room, a place where the people retreat to, get refreshed, take stock, remind each other of what they're doing. And when I came to St. Peter's, it felt like the waiting was too much to shop front, and I wanted to introduce some staff room stuff, not to stop the shop from running, but just to introduce that element, just so that those of us who get tired from all of that activity can be refreshed. So Feast is a space where we as disciples of Jesus can come and do that intentional learning and growing in our faith. So we take a particular topic and we wrestle with it. And as I say in Feast, and Hannah sort of alluded to it already, I'm not really that interested as the facilitator of what you think by the end. I'm more interested in why you think what you think, making sure that you've done that process that Hannah was just describing. So we started that in September, and we did the first one on life after death. Remind me, did you come to the second one on baptism, is that right? Or did you come to the communion
one?
No,
I came to the communion one.
So we did one on baptism and then one on communion, to which you turned up. Why did you turn up?
Well, I came to the first one as well. And
all right.
So as someone who's often quite busy on a Sunday morning, and I've got my two children usually being quite loud at the back, it's fairly distracting. So I often find on a Sunday morning sort of the sermon time and the time to sort of listen and be fed quite difficult to focus, because there's usually, you know, I'm thinking about, oh, I've got to go and do this job, or this is a thing, and I'm going to get up and sing in a minute, or I've got to go and find out what Albert's doing. So it's often quite hard to sort of really absorb what's going on. So to have a space that was, not to sound horrible, without my children, and sort of quiet and a place to contemplate and to listen was really valuable, because I've not really had that for a very long time, I don't think. And a space where I can go, actually, I can focus on what's going on in my own head rather than have to think about the other things that are happening. And also just to gather with a load of other people who are in a similar situation where they're there for the reason of thinking about the Bible and thinking about whatever this topic is. And going in quite open-minded, because I don't often have a very sort of set theological view on something, it's quite nice to go into a situation and go, well, I don't really know what I think or why I think what I think. So to be able to listen to sort of other people's views on it is really helpful to help sort of form that viewpoint.
Yeah. And prior to children, did you have a pattern of kind of being quiet with yourself? Because you said at the beginning that you're quite an active person and quite busy. You know, is that a pattern that you have, or were you in a pattern where you could sit and be quiet?
Not massively, but there was more opportunity for things like, so like when I was a teenager, I'd often go to like Bible study groups. Mm. I would often also be volunteering at the Bible study group, but you know, there was still a bit more space for it. Whereas after having the kids, kind of you half your mind somewhere else most of the time. Mm. So yeah, having that kind of dedicated space now is really important for me.
Yeah, and so what benefits, impacts has Feast had on your thinking every day, in your everyday discipleship?
We were talking about this at our small group the other week, actually, and I was saying about that whole feeling unqualified to sort of think about stuff, but that actually it's really important, whether you feel qualified or not, to look at your theology. And, you know, you might not want to call it that because of the, you know, the word seems too, you know, academic or whatever. But thinking about why you think what you do about God is okay, and trying to decide where that's come from is a good thing. Because, you know, it might have just come from a feeling. It might have come from a personal experience. It might not be a biblical thing, because of all that, you know, where it's come from. So I've discovered when we did the communion one, I've always had quite a set opinion on children in communion. But that one has made me go, oh, I'm now not quite sure what I think. I've still not really got to the bottom of my theology on that yet, which again, I think is okay. But it's a good thing to sort of take that subject and sort of put it on its own and try and drill down into it and reassess it, because that's really important, that we are able to change, that we're not sort of so stuck in our ways that we can't sort of step back and ask God back into that. Because I know on that particular subject, I think it was you read a Bible verse and I kind of went, oh, now that and what I've always thought I don't think quite fit together, but I can't really work out why. And so I'm sort of still trying to wrestle with that and figure that out. But yeah, it's, had I not been to Feast and not heard that and not heard what other people were saying, I probably just wouldn't have thought about it.
And so you said briefly there that, you know, theology, whatever you want to call it or describe it, now, when someone says theology, particularly me or whatever I talk about it, how would you describe that to children?
Like, I guess it's just your understanding of God. And, you know, that can be as like a holistic thing. That could be the aspects of God. That could be aspects of faith. But I guess it's just how you would understand that. And then how you would then communicate that to other people.
Okay, and so that leads us into seeking with passion as a value. What does that look like for you? Maybe day to day, what does it mean, you know, to have that as a value for you?
Well, I mean, feast has been an important part of that. Also, our small group, we spend time, most weeks we'll spend time looking at something biblical, and we don't necessarily have like a full in-depth Bible study, but the way that I like it because someone will read the reading and we'll kind of all sort of sit back, and then someone will go, so what do you think? And hearing how other people have interpreted this Bible verse is really interesting, because sometimes it's completely different. They've heard something entirely different to what you've heard. And then sort of revisiting that the day after or in a few days and reading it again and seeing actually what comes to me now, what's the important bit that's jumping out at me? Because I think, especially if you've been a Christian a long time, you've read the Bible, you've read all of those verses, you know, that are, you know, especially for me doing children's work, you've read all the children's work stories a million times. So we did this with Noah's Ark at small group, and we read it, and then someone said something and I went, I have never noticed that in this passage. It's just something that had completely passed me by, because I guess if I was reading it in children's work head, I've gone through the nice story bit. But there's bits that I'd missed. And so the Bible is so complex and it's so big, there's so much in it, that revisiting it with a different mindset, either on your own or with other people, I think can just help us to sort of expand what we think and what we know about God.
You are currently going, engaged in participating in the parenting course at St.
Yes.
Chad's, week off this week. And in that parenting course, one of the things that I've enjoyed hearing from the woman who runs it on the video is she separates out children as God-smart children and God-connected children. A lot of your discussion about seeking with passion and feast has been about reading and book knowledge and growing in that. How do you see yourself, or helping Darcy and Albert perhaps, move from being, you know, seeing it as book smarts to being God connected? Are you in a process, do you feel, with communion or whatever, of not just it being a sort of clinical, or I'm going to read these books and think things through? How has it helped in your relationship with God?
I mean, I think I've definitely had to be more prayerful about stuff, because I'm also kind of a solver. So if there's a problem, I like to fix it and do the thing and then it's done. Brilliant. But actually, when you're reassessing sort of how you think about something, I don't think it's quite that easy. So I've had to be much more prayerful and sort of asking for lots of patience to go, can I just, God, will you guide me? Just help me, you know, to sort of find the right path with this. But with the kids as well, they've really enjoyed the parenting course. They've called it their second church now. So they're going to first church, then they go to second church on a Sunday. But it has made me realise, actually, because we're often so busy, we're actually really rubbish at doing the God stuff at home. So making sure that we've got kids. So Darcy's, she's a smart kid, and, you know, she knows her Bible stories. She's done, you know, children's church since she was old enough. You know, we've always read Bible stories at home and all that sort of thing. But actually having sort of deeper conversations about God. So one of the things the lady who's like doing the videos on the course was saying is, it's just about asking questions. And I find that hard because I often don't know the answer, but it's knowing that that's okay. It's okay not to know, because, you know, there's other people that know. I could come and ask Ned. I could Google it. I could, you know, ask around. You know, there's loads of ways to find out, but actually encouraging my children that that's a good thing to do. So ask a question. You might not get your answer straight away. You might not get an answer at all. But to ask is a really good practice to get into, because it helps you to
sort of formulate your ideas better. And, you know, we're trying to introduce more sort of God stuff at home that we can all sort of gather around so that that just becomes normal.
Yeah. I think children are a real gift, not only because of what they say, but on what they encourage us to say. And I think for me, one of the tests of being particularly a godparent, obviously I don't have children of my own, but being a godparent, going and I turn up at a friend's house and they say, "Oh, so-and-so's got a question for you." I'm like, "Oh, great, how long have they been storing this up for?" And I take a godchild away and we sit and they ask a question. And I always remember, I can't remember which professor or scientist, someone once said that the test that you really know a subject is if you can explain it to a five-year-old, which is a really interesting thing, going back full circle to what you were saying about being a children's worker, of going, "Oh, that's the level that I'm at." Actually, I find trying to explain stuff to children so that they understand it is a real test. That can you simplify it? And most of the time, I can sound like I know about a subject, but most people glaze over and don't have a foggiest idea of what I'm saying. And I often take that as, I need to work on that slightly more so that they understand it. Obviously, there are subjects which are quite complicated anyway. But in terms of what you're engaged in with Darcy and Albert and with the children here at St. Peter's is should be a test of how much you know, so that you can pass on to them not the knowledge, not the right thing to think, but actually to be able to model and to talk about, right, this is the process that I'm in, that discipleship doesn't finish when you get baptized or when you get confirmed or whenever you think that moment is. And indeed, for me, as you know, when I was ordained, my discipleship didn't finish. I am continuing to learn and to grow, and I, as a clergy person, need to remind all of you as a family that is the case, that I'm still learning and growing and being discipled, just as I'm discipling others. I think that's a really important thing for our whole life, a long, lifelong journey of learning and discovering, and it's about a process of being formed together. Thank you, Hannah. We're going to pray for Hannah and indeed for all our children's workers, those who volunteer in teaching our children, particularly at this church. So let's pray. Lord and good Father to us all, we thank you for your gentle teaching and guidance. We are privileged to call ourselves disciples of your Son. Continue to grow us, to help us to be faithful witnesses, formed by your love. Lord, we thank you for the many gifted and passionate teachers that we have amongst us, not only here in our adult group, but also in our children's groups. Lord, bless and equip all of those who teach us and guide us. May they help us to be whole life and lifelong disciples. Thank you for Hannah and for your relationship with her and for the way in which you are inviting her closer to you, where you are showing more of yourself and your will and your purposes to her. Thank you for the passion with which she engages in knowing more about you and to knowing you better. We pray a hedge of protection around her as she goes through that quite vulnerable journey. Pray that you would be strong and firm with her and hold her close. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.